So yeah, like FPSs, what can I say? There's nothing like the rush of hunting people down and killing them. I mean, my heart's beating, my hands are shaking, but I'm still shooting, and I'm still getting the headshots, just like, boom, man shot, boom, man shot, I'm still getting the shots, just like,
what is up, everyone? Welcome to Boom Headshot, your weekly gaming podcast fix. As always, it's the same geek every week. I'm your host, Jordan Thompson, and this is episode number 44. And this week, I am rejoined, even though you guys didn't know it, by Carl Houts from the Gaming On podcast. How is it going, man?
It's going good, Jordan. Yes, back.
Yes. Back for those back, of you...
Back for the first time.
Exactly. See? You know. For those of you who aren't aware, back in November, Carl and I had tried to record an episode based around today's topic, and it was an amazing episode. We had, an hour and a half conversation?
Yeah. It was pretty fun.
It was
going smoothly.
I was so excited for it. Like, I was like, yes, this episode's going to be awesome. Good. And then, the last 5 minutes, I'm like, wait, I don't see the levels popping up when my mic's moving or when I'm talking. Oh no, panic attack.
Oh no.
And I go in and I listen to it and I've only got Carl's audio.
Yeah.
I was a kicked puppy.
I was too. It felt hard. Sometimes technology just destroys you mentally in ways that nothing else can, and that was definitely one of those times. And I've had several of those just in the process of podcasting, and it's always a bummer. But hey, we're back.
Exactly, we're gonna make it happen this time, and it is gonna be awesome. We've already tested the audio, so I'm not gonna have any more of these problems. No more shenanigans up in here. It is early. Well. It's early enough on a Sunday, and I think we're both feeling the effects of our Saturday nights. What were you up to last night?
So last night was GameAnon's 1 year anniversary. Podcast I'm normally on, it was surreal. It gets weirder when you go to parties with your friends as they get older, because now we're getting pretty messed up. And earlier on in the evening, you're drinking and there's a bunch of children around now also, which their kids are cute and fun, but it's still bizarre.
Cause you're watching us. Kids.
And they're just getting to the point where if we're in a conversation, they'll look at who's talking and focus on them and look at the next person. And it's just when we're talking about something that's totally inappropriate, it's always funny.
It's just I really hope you don't get what's being said here.
Yeah, so many drinks were had in celebration.
That's awesome.
What were you up to last night?
I was actually on another podcast, but before I get into that, congratulations on the 1 year for GameAnon. That's fantastic. Hey,
thanks, man. Yeah, we did. Thank you. Oh, yes. Spattering of applause.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did 34 episodes, and nice. That was cool. And I saw your thing recently about how it's just going to have to be when we can now, and it's kind of it's the same thing for us. It's just real life is so tough now with them having kids and everyone's got full-time jobs and whatever. We just all got, well, not all of us, but we just got some new computers and a new setup and things, so we're kind of testing things out. In terms of interviews, I've been kind of frustrated recently with our podcast, because we haven't been able to get on other people as much as I would have liked to, that's definitely something we'll fix as soon as possible.
I completely understand. That was for a while after, I think probably around December or so, is when I started petering out for episodes, and it got me down for a bit, because I was just I want to keep doing this, but I'm not finding anyone, and that's personally on myself to try and find guests. But the same token, I mean, not everyone's willing to jump on and do a podcast, because I can understand it can be a little daunting and frightening at times, but that's why I try to leave it welcoming and open to anyone to just basically come in and shoot the shit. Shit happens, and I'm just gonna go with it. Whatever happens, happens. I've only done 3 episodes so far this year, but hey, that's still 3 episodes and still going. That's what's important, really, when it comes down to it.
And you're doing the ones and the episodes that you like care about, and like the ones that you have done have been really like positive. Mm-hmm. I've really liked them because you know, you're focusing on like, you know, the positive side of gaming instead of the negative side. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I find it's better to encourage someone than to be like, no, you suck, don't do that. Like, I used to be a Call of Duty troll person for a while when that was like really all I was playing.
When you were younger?
Exactly, I was younger.
Didn't know better?
I knew better, but I was just an asshole.
Okay.
But you learn from the experiences, and you learn from people, and getting to know people through Twitter or wherever, through other podcasts like you guys, and seeing so much of a positive light shed on the community from people like you guys and everyone that I've come in contact with, it just makes my life better knowing that maybe I'm making the gaming community a little bit more positive.
Yeah, and I liked the episode you just had about, you know, like the positive people's kind of negative perceptions of gamers who are adults at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, it's good to encourage people to like, yeah, if you're a gamer, you know, you're not an anonymous person. You're still in real life. You're interacting with people online the same way you do any other way. I think people get disconnected when they get a headset on for some reason.
They stop paying attention.
You and me are a little bit more used to it because we're like, we've been doing podcasts, but yeah. Something recently I saw, it's an Oscar Wilde quote, and it kind of goes to the, and I, this came up when I was playing World of Warcraft, because it's very big in World of Warcraft, which is, if you give a person a mask and they'll reveal their true face to you. And the actual French translation is a little bit different, but you get the idea that, like, if you give people a cover, you'll see what they really want to say, what they're really feeling. You'll get no filters if they don't have to show or take responsibility for their action or their, you know, their words.
Yeah, exactly. So. And that's a big problem with people being really just dicks on the internet.
Pretty much.
There's no one's holding them accountable to what they're doing.
That's another thing I commend Xbox Live for putting into. We were just talking about the Xbox One before we started recording, and that's another thing I can actually commend them for is at least starting to put in a system where, you know, your teammates or whoever is rating this player, and the rating says, like, needs work, don't play with me, or acceptable.
But that's cool. I mean, it gives people an idea, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that can go either way, because I'm sure people can abuse that and just...
I'm sure they can.
But at least...
It's a good idea.
It's a good idea. It's how they kind of mold it, right?
We'll see, yeah.
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 So, right. Yeah.
So, the next in your intro, what do you do? Do you have upcoming releases?
I do.
Go for it.
I did talk about the podcast I was on yesterday. Yes, I did.
What was the name of it?
It's the Jackass Podcast, so you can actually find it there. Shameless plug, guys. Go hang out. Like it was a blast. Twitch.tv/JackLifier, JACKLIFEAR, and they do it every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern or Central. I can't remember. I think it was Eastern. And it's basically just a whole bunch of people, a lot of them Twitch streamers, just hanging out and shooting the shit, playing some games. It was a blast. So I was on there and up very, very late.
What games were you playing?
I wasn't in for the games. I came in for the podcast afterwards. They were playing Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, that's
so
a great game.
I was keeling over laughing. It was fantastic. And so many people in there. So it was a long game, but man, funny
that's
as hell.
That's a great game.
It is. I love playing Cards Against Humanity. So
cool.
Yeah, but let's get into the new releases. There's not too much this week. We have Steins Gate for PC, which I've never heard of. No idea. We've got MLB 14 The Show for the PS3 and PS Vita. I know that's going to be a big hit with some of my friends. My buddy Thomas is definitely going to be picking that up, I'm sure.
That series has a lot of diehard fans, man.
It does, yeah. And I mean, it's a well-crafted game. I don't personally like baseball games, but the mechanics and how that game plays and feels is really smooth.
For the most part, some of the pitching stuff, I don't know anything about baseball games. I only interviewed, we had one of my friends on, and his two games are Fallout, the Fallout series, and MLB The Show. That's like the main two games that he plays. I know, he's weird. He doesn't have a lot of time, but that's like
what he's really into.
But he was saying, yeah, very good game, except there is a lot of pitching issues in that were in 13, The Show. Yeah, the pitching like was inconsistent, basically. And like even when you were, a lot of you can kind of find it back in our episodes if you're interested. GameAndOn.com.
Yes.
Kind of a shameless plug.
That's right. We're all about shameless plugs here and self-promotion and getting the word out about what we do.
What else is coming out?
We've got Ragnarok Odyssey Ace for the PS3 and PS Vita. King Oddball for the PS4. Not really sure, but I don't know. Any PS4 release, I'm generally looking to try something just because I'm really running thin on things to play because I have not touched my PS4 in probably a good month.
Have you played Outlast at all?
Yes, I have. And
did you finish Outlast?
I played about an hour. Games like that. Okay, I'll get through the new releases quickly, and then we'll go into that because that's totally cool. Because I'm gonna go on a bit of a tangent with that game, I'm sure. We got Super Monkey Ball 3D for the 3DS on the eShop, and the big release for this week is going to be Elder Scrolls Online for the PC and Mac. I know a lot of people are super pumped. I've been watching some people streaming on Twitch, and you know what? For an MMO, it doesn't look like it's your typical MMO, and from what I've a few coworkers of mine have been kind of telling me about it, and by what it sounds like, it really apparently feels like an Elder Scrolls game as opposed to an MMO.
A lot of people have been telling me that. I've skipped the betas. I usually skip betas. Now that I'm doing a podcast, I feel like kind of I need to get into betas. In this one, I kind of wanted to get into, but for the most part, I just want to see what it looks like to the general audience. You know, that's what I want to review for the most part. I understand why there is betas and pre-release stuff, but from what I heard is that the betas that they were going through were very good.
Yeah,
but broken at the same time. Like they were an Elder Scrolls game, but there were so many problems, so many bugs with it right away that it's like I don't know if they can fix all of it by the time it launches.
Yeah.
So for me, I just don't think. I don't know. I'm not going to pick it up day one. I don't think I'm going to pick it up day one.
No, I think that would be a game that I would wait to see if like there's a 7-day trial to give it a shot and see if I liked it. But the staying power with most MMOs for me is very, very short. I've tried WoW multiple times. I can't get back into it. I was really, really into the Old Republic for a while.
It's a great game.
It is, and
I'm going to get back into that now. Now that you said that.
It's free to play, so why not, right?
No. Do not, and anyone who's listening to this, or you, do not do the free to play version of it.
Yeah, you got to go and pay. I mean, I was doing it just so I could play it again because
this is, it's fun. I've talked about this several times. God, that's so annoying.
Explain. I'm curious. Okay.
Well, they took a decent game and made a horrible version of it that's free to play. The normal good version of the game is $20 a month, and it's free to download, and you don't have to buy it. You did for the first like 6 months or so.
Yeah.
And then you had to pay a subscription. But if you just pay the $20 a month, you will get a great, great MMO. Don't do the free to play. Please don't.
Unless you really are really strapped for cash. But if you can afford it, save up the coins and play it.
I guess it's just sad because like I understand why they have the free to play option. It's like, oh, it's a teaser. It's like what a, you know, a demo used to be back in the day where you
what's
you
a get demo
for demos, dude.
Yeah, discs.
They came in the back of your magazine that you
yep,
got.
Yep, I remember those good times.
But now the free to play iteration is so terrible that it's worse than a demo.
Yeah, it can really, for certain games, can hinder the experience and make you not want to go back and play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, I don't know, staying power with MMOs, just, it doesn't happen, but I would like to see what this is like. I'll probably get a bunch of feedback from coworkers to see what they think as well. So,
but, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, speaking of staying power in MMOs, I got sucked back into WoW recently.
Did you?
Yeah, and I'm enjoying the PvP in it quite a bit.
Nice.
And there's a lot more to do now than there used to be. You know, I'm never bored. I'm never as bored as I used to get in the game. At the end game, you know, I'm at the end game. Mm-hmm. And there's just like the pet battling, and I'm more into the PvP side now because yeah. I think there's a lot more variety in that. So that's what keeps coming back to it.
That's cool. At least it's got something that makes you want to come back. I can't lie. I was kind of intrigued when they did introduce pet battling because I was like, hey, PokeWow.
I know. And now they're implementing like the old Warcraft 3 style mechanics into mm-hmm. it. I'm really looking forward to that in the next expansion. You're going to have your own plot of land within the game that you can kind of edit and build as you level that up. So that should be pretty cool. You'll have workers
yeah.
get the job done and all that.
It'll be kind of exciting. I mean, I probably won't get it, but I'll be able to watch Steph play it, I'm sure, because she's going to pre-order it. No questions asked, I'm sure.
I have already pre-ordered it.
Nice. So. Collector's edition.
This is not going to devolve into a WoW talk. It happens way too often on my podcast.
It's so easy to do because it's WoW. On that note, I'm curious, have you picked up Reaper of Souls? For D3?
I don't do the Diablo.
No?
I don't do Diablo.
Oh, okay.
I tried Diablo 3. I did play Diablo 2 a little bit back when it was like in its heyday.
Mm-hmm.
But not a whole lot. I played Diablo 3 and really disliked that I couldn't switch to a higher difficulty immediately. I had to keep playing through the exact same story over and over again to
yeah.
increase the difficulty. Not into that. And I don't like the controls. For me, I'm personally just not a big fan of MOBAs.
Mm-hmm.
And Diablo 3 is too close to a MOBA for me to really care that much. I did really love the single player, the multiplayer that the co-op experience was.
Yeah.
That was really cool that you could drop in and drop out of another person's game and it altered the difficulty based on how many people were in the party. Loved mm-hmm. that. That was so cool.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, though, like at the end game, What I was just talking about this last night with some friends of mine, and I was like, what I wish it had was an arena system, a PvP system. And maybe I'm just a multiplayer junkie, but I was imagining like if there was 3v3 multiplayer matches the same way there is 3v3 arena matches in World of Warcraft, I would be way into that in Diablo. But from what I've told, that does exist, but it's totally horribly unbalanced compared to the other multiplayer Blizzard games that I play, which is the rest of Blizzard's games.
Yeah, pretty much everything else they do.
So Diablo, I just don't do Diablo.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one I've been again watching Steph play and going, yeah, it's really cool. I've been watching some people play it on Twitch. This guy, Eddie Monster, he's been playing a lot of it and he's having a lot of fun with it, but I don't know. I'm too sucked into Dark Souls to play anything else right now.
Mm-hmm.
And God, that game is good. Okay, so I bought Dark Souls 1 probably about 2 or 3 years ago now, and tried it because my friend was like, "Hey, you got to play this. It's an awesome game." I'm like, "All right, sure, I'll give it a shot." And I got so butthurt over this game because it was so painfully difficult and I didn't have the patience for it at the time mm-hmm. that I'm like, no, screw this game. I'm done. Mm-hmm. So I put it down for probably a year and a half or so.
You didn't sell it.
I didn't sell it. No, I wouldn't. I didn't want to give
it
up.
Good for you. Good for you.
Came back to it probably about a year and a half later, tried it again. Still butthurt. Still cannot play and couldn't handle it. But right. I've watched a lot of people play through it, and I was like, you know what, Dark Souls 2 is coming out. I the collector's edition looks awesome. The game itself looks fucking fantastic, so I got to give it a shot. Mm-hmm. But I will not play it until I beat Dark Souls 1.
Oh,
I challenged myself. Wow. Yeah, and for me, I'm a very ADD gamer where play one thing, new thing comes out, play that, and most of my collection is unfinished because of that. So I picked it up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's a problem that I have where I start games. Like, I always will start the second one. I will not have played the first one and just be like, oh, the new one's coming out? I'll just play the new one.
Yeah, good enough. That's the thing.
But, and then I'll go back and wish I would have done it in order, but oh well.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really have any direct relation between 1 and 2, but at least from what I gathered, that's the thing about Dark Souls, is you can take what you want from the story.
Right. I was going to say, do they have the thing where Mass Effect had, where you can transfer your character from one story to the next one, or no?
No, that's nothing totally like separate. That, yeah, because they just keep the story completely separate. I'm sure there is some relations in the lore, but I'm not huge into the lore.
So you're still in Dark Souls 1?
No.
How's that good?
I finished it in just under 2 weeks.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was really challenging, but I think the big thing you gotta just accept and get past is that you're gonna die a lot, you're gonna lose a lot of souls, but you gotta keep going, because there's always ways to farm souls, so it's not a huge deal. And when you take down these bosses, it's so rewarding. I mean, I don't want to spoil for anyone who hasn't played Dark Souls. Go play it. It is fantastic. So I beat that, I guess it was 2 days ago? 2 or 3 days ago. And so I've been playing 2 pretty much
nonstop. Were you playing on PS3 or PC?
PS3. PC okay. version for... Oh, yeah, for Dark Souls 1. Yeah, no, I was playing on PS3.
I have a game like this that's kind of like my my arch nemesis at the moment.
Oh?
And it got me butthurt, and I put it down for a long time. So I will go back to it eventually. And that game is Hotline Miami.
Oh, Hotline Miami is so good.
But I
understand where you can come from frustration.
I got those same feelings where it's so hard, but when you do like get through a level, even like one part of a level.
Yeah, we get through one floor.
Getting through one floor is like the most... you get a reward, like an endorphin rush that I've never gotten from any other game.
Yeah.
Or very few other games, you know, have challenged me and then had that rewards in that way. But it's always waiting for me, and I will go back and finish it, but I just need a break from it for a while. Yeah. I understand it.
No, I completely get that. I did the same thing where I put it down for a while and had to come back and finish it, and it was a really satisfying game. That soundtrack, though, is just amazing. So.
The Dark Souls or Hotline?
Hotline Miami. But yeah, Dark Souls is amazing as well.
Yeah.
But cool. Hotline Miami, I just got so into it.
I love their soundtrack. It's great.
But since we're on, we're talking about Dark Souls controls. Controls in Dark Souls are a finely crafted beast, I've found. Because originally there was Demon Souls that came out before that. I have Demon Souls. I still haven't gone through that. I need to finish that at some point. They really fine-tune the controls from Demon Souls to Dark Souls, and from Dark Souls 1 to Dark Souls 2, without really getting into it too much, they've really improved upon control mechanics they had previous, which is really nice. And after that, like, what is it, half hour into the episode, and we're now starting the topic.
Yes, gaming controls.
Yes. So. Trying to think where do you want to start with this?
Well, so in Dark Souls, the character, you know, you're using PS3 controller?
Correct.
And, I mean, in the second one, what's different from the first one? What can you notice the most about it?
I think the big thing was that it was actually improved upon was, like, your jumping. In Dark Souls 1, you would be holding down circle. And then you'd press it again to do a jump while you're running. Mm-hmm. In Dark Souls 2, you're holding down circle, and then as you're running, you press down L3. Okay. So it's a much more seamless transition. The character seems to run around a lot faster from what I can tell. I mean, obviously, it'll change based on the build of your character. If you've got a lot of heavy equipment, then he's going to be slowing down, which I really like about the game for that.
Right.
But it overall, everything feels tighter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we should start with, like, the most recent stuff, mm-hmm. and then we'll kind of move backwards.
Sounds good. How's that sound? Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Okay. So the reason I initially thought of this topic was because back when we first planned this, the Steam controller had just come out, and mm-hmm. it really interested me to think about what could be done with it, or who, what the audience was for it, because honestly, and I still believe this, that controller is going to make more money than the Steam boxes will if they sell it separately. If they sell it separately and it can be used for PCs the same way any other gamepad can, mm-hmm. I think they'll sell more controllers than they will Steam boxes. Because the more that I've thought about it, I just don't see the point of buying a Steam box instead of just building your own computer that can also run Origin, Battle.net, and, you know, whatever other programs you're using or need to use.
Yeah.
If it's Steam, then they have an incentive to just limit it to only Steam games, you know, which their library is huge, and I wish EA and Ubisoft and Blizzard can do their own thing, but I really wish, because their launcher is pretty good, but the Origin launcher is garbage.
Origin is shit, I'm sorry.
The Uplay system is annoying. I'm just tired of Uplay. I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that they try to force it on you by doing their own way, but that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Steam controller changed since the last time we spoke. There's now like a touchpad system, and there's also, instead of the button system in the middle they have two crosses, so the same way you would see either on an Xbox 360 or a PlayStation controller.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Where it's in the diamond shape, so there's two of them, how do I put this, kind of down and to the middle from the touchpad controls that you're using.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's a lot of buttons, and it looks cool. And I still want to get hands-on with it. I haven't been able to yet. I'm very curious about it. You know, for a comfort factor, I like it. And, you know, I think there's a lot of cool things you can do with it. I'm not sure how many people, even with that, will really jump on it. I'm not sure how people are going to react to it, to be honest. Or if they'll, you know, because they've been with thumbsticks for so long.
How do you make that transition? Because it's such a... I think for a lot of people, it's a bizarre concept to think, well, wait, my controller doesn't have any kind of joystick. Like, in terms of a feel, I just, for me, that would be weird. I would feel like I'm missing something on my controller. And I'm not to say that it's not going to work well, but it's just, it's bizarre. So it's getting over that hump initially.
Yeah, we've had them since, you know, the N64 days and before there were joysticks. So...
Very weird. Yeah, how do you make that transition? But yeah, no, I actually hadn't seen what the Steam controller looked like with the changes until now. Mm-hmm. And that looks really, really clean.
It does. It looks like a really interesting piece of hardware. Mm-hmm. And again, for the biggest thing for me that I would use it for is first-person shooters.
Yeah.
For me, and I know I'm in a minority here, but I really dislike playing PC first-person shooters with mouse and keyboard. It's not comfortable, and it makes me kind of nauseous. Mm-hmm. Playing that way, it's too bizarre, too like jerky at the same time.
Yeah, I much prefer to kick back, hold a controller in my hand, and play that way.
And I also really prefer having the trigger, like a trigger button to fire a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of feels better and makes more sense to me overall.
Yeah, it's just it's.
The reason I'm like that is because I've been doing it that way for so long. Like, I had the first Xbox, and then an Xbox 360. I've always had those trigger buttons. And I really did like the trigger buttons on the 360 more than the PS3. The PS3s were kind of like... They're kind of shaped like... they're not quite shaped like triggers. They don't have a convex shape to them. They're just kind of plastic that kind of inclines straight out and down at the same time.
Yeah, and your finger just, I always notice, just tends to slide off of them. It never felt like it should be there.
They fixed it on the PS4.
Yes, they did.
PS4 is like a concave, and your finger fits right into it, and it feels like a trigger again in a really good way. So.
Yeah, and the fact that you're able to use the L2 and R2 for firing instead of L1, R1 like you did on the PS3 is nice. I mean, obviously you can change controls, but it feels right with the PS4 controller.
Yeah, and before people start claiming that we're just PS4 fanboys, I love the Xbox One controller too.
I have mine right here.
Oh, that's a 360
controller. Or 360 controller. Yeah, what am I talking
about? I love the 360 controller. Oh, yeah. I did get hands-on with the Xbox One controller a few times, and I really love it. The design is incredible, and I'd be tempted to get one for PC. So I got a new PC recently, mm-hmm. and this is my next thing is I'm going to get a gamepad for it, but I'm not sure what gamepad to get. So maybe we'll find something. Maybe the listeners can recommend one for me.
Yeah, definitely.
But the Xbox One controller is really a well-designed piece of hardware. The triggers are great. The bumpers are kind of built into they kind of fit sleekly right into the top of the controller itself.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no... I know on the 360 one there was... At least I had a couple issues, and I've heard a lot of other people had issues with the bumpers kind of just like getting stuck. And I tried to get them fixed, and they're like, oh, nothing we can do about it.
Really?
And I was like, really? Even people that like change electronics and fix electronics for a living were just like, can't do anything.
Wow.
It's just done. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, so I'm hoping the new one will work better. I actually do like the speaking of thumbsticks, the thumbsticks on the Xbox One controller are amazing. They're smaller than the 360 one, but there's like this material that's like kind of a ribbing that kind of grips your thumb as it's on it. That feels really cool. So I still, now that I'm on PS4, I kind of prefer the thumbsticks being parallel to each other.
Because now your thumbs don't, hitting the mic here. Now your thumbs don't touch when you push them both in together. There's enough space on the PS4 controller.
I didn't know if they did that on the PS3. Is that true?
No, the PS3 one, for some people whose hands are bigger, if you've got both your thumbs on the joysticks and you push them both in, you'll end up touching your thumbs together.
Oh, man.
So it can be really irritating at times. I mean, okay. I don't really have that much of an issue with it, but I know people I've talked to have had problems with that, and they said that switching to the PS4 controller, everything felt a lot better, and it was more spaced out and just more comfortable.
I think, yeah, and I think the reason it feels more comfortable to a lot of people is if you are playing first-person shooters, a lot of it is, like, you're trying to find your balance for your character. You know, if you can kind of orientate yourself with your character, you can move around a lot better and, like, basically hunt people a lot better.
Yeah.
So if they are parallel, it kind of feels right. And then it's not to say that going back to the 360 controller, I don't pick it up pretty quickly, but having the one thumbstick higher on the left side than the other one that's lower on the right side is a bit weird going back to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but honestly, it feels so good and it works so nice that, I don't know, they're both very good controllers and I'm very happy with them.
Yeah, I unfortunately haven't really had a lot of opportunity to get hands-on with an Xbox One controller besides like stopping into local EB Games just to try out the demo and see how it feels. But I really liked it, and that was the one thing, like you're mentioning, getting one for PC. If they did, I don't know if the Xbox One controller does natively work with PC or not.
I'm not sure either, actually.
I have a feeling thought someone mentioned that it's not, but I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah. And I remember about the last time we spoke about this, that the biggest downside of the Xbox One controller is that you have to have the Xbox or Microsoft licensed headphones to use with it. You cannot use any other headphone system with that controller. That's its biggest downfall right there. Very mm-hmm. silly decision.
Oh, absolutely.
With the PS4 controller, there is a mini USB in the front of it, or there's a quarter-inch headphone jack facing you if you're holding it. So it's just so convenient. Anyone can plug any set of headphones into their PS4 controller.
Yep.
And I know the PS4 controller does work natively with at least some programs on PC. I'll be interested to see what games it would be able to work with natively.
Mm-hmm. I was actually surprised. I plugged it into my Mac to try it out, and it worked right off the hop with Rogue Legacy.
No kidding.
Yeah, no drivers or anything. It immediately recognized it, so I was really impressed with that. I actually wasn't expecting it to work at all.
That gives me a lot of hope then. That's mm-hmm. sweet.
Yeah, the only thing is I think it gets confused with the PS4 controller and thinks that, X on the PS4 controller is like Y on what would be an Xbox 360 controller or something like that. So it's, you have to go in and change the controller mapping, but otherwise it works really well.
That's good. It's, that's another thing is, like, with modern games and modern gaming devices, being able to customize the controls, the more you are able to customize the controls, the better the player experience is going to be in the end. You know, because if you think about it, the more limited it is, then you just have a wider variety of people who can complain about it, basically.
And that will that can stop people from being like, well, since I can't do this, I'm not going to play your game. Now,
exactly,
I don't know a lot of people that do that, but I'm sure there are ones out there that get into fits like that because they don't get exactly what they want.
Well, if you think about it, like, even if you're talking about people who play, like, Southpaw style, you know, if you don't include that option, then you've just cut out, you know, 8 to 10% of people.
Yeah.
You know, of course, it's, like, only left-handed people, and only left-handed people who are used to playing Southpaw.
But you're still limiting an
audience.
You're just
alienating your audience for no good reason. So
the more customization I find, the better. I mean, if you can literally remap all the buttons to whichever you'd like, that's fantastic.
It's still why I think keyboard and mouse will never go away, basically, you know, because there is just unlimited changing and mapping on a that's available on a keyboard. Like when I'm playing World of Warcraft, I've got like my 1 through 9 keys to do one thing.
Yeah.
I've got like, you know, movement keys and the keys around them are kind of mapped to this and that. And then then you can do shift 1 2 3 4 5, shift R T F, or control R T F, control 1 2 3 4 5. So having so many options and having that variety is really nice.
It is. And on the note of controls for what you would play with WoW, I actually used to use this guy here.
Oh, what is that? Is that a Razer? I've seen these before.
This one's actually made by Belkin, but I'm pretty sure Belkin. Yeah, it's the N52TE. So since everyone listening obviously can't see what I am showing, Carl, it's a mini keyboard essentially. So it's got 5, 10, 14 keys. And how I would have it mapped out is the 3 keys on the very far left I would use for shift, control, and alt. And then I would have each of the 9 buttons here mapped to different commands on my bars.
Okay. I've seen these devices, and it's like, you know, it's like basically a mini slice of a keyboard, one hand, and there's like about 12 keys on it. Do you think that modern mice that have like a lot of like the newer mice, you can get up to like 12 function keys on the side of the mouse. Do you think that kind of makes your device, you know, just a niche thing, or?
I think with the way that's been integrated, yeah. I mean, I don't really see anyone buying these anymore. I bought this probably like 5 years ago, if not more.
I remember them being, they used to be more popular.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for me, how I play, I've got a Razer Death Adder mouse, so I've only got 2 buttons on the side. So for me, that works together perfectly. But I was going to call her girlfriend, but now she's my fiance.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
so that's okay. You can still say girlfriend.
Yeah, it's not something I'm going to change probably, but I've been called it in a few times. Nice. Very nice.
We have the same mouse. I was just pointing that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Fantastic mouse. I love it. But my girlfriend has fiance, whatever.
You mean your fiance?
Yeah, my fiance. That person that I apparently decided I wanted to marry.
Good thing she doesn't listen to the podcast.
Exactly, but she probably can hear me right now, so I'll get a smack afterwards now. I actually bought her the Razer Naga mouse.
Oh yeah, that's so
that's the one with the 12 keys on the side, and I don't think she would ever go back to a normal mouse because it's so convenient for her. Whether she's playing Diablo, she literally can play Diablo with just the mouse and that's it.
So yeah, big shout outs to Razer because I'm also using a Razer Death Adder Ultimate. Or wait, I'm trying to think of the keyboard I'm using. It's a Tournament Edition mechanical keyboard.
Nice.
And it is the nicest thing ever. It was pretty expensive, not gonna lie.
Their products are, but they pay for themselves in their quality.
It has amazing quality. It's like you know, lifetime basically guaranteed to mm-hmm. work. And if I unplug this and plug it in on another computer, it will, its driver will go in, find my profile, find the settings for all my games that I use, and import them right wow. to that computer. Yeah.
And that's insane. Like,
that's included with the devices. So big ups to Razer. They do good stuff.
Yeah. I think that was something we definitely didn't touch on enough last time, was getting into the PC side and the keyboard mouse aspect of controls, because I mean, there is a lot of different options. I mean, I've done an episode before where a friend of mine, me and my friend Tyler, were just talking about like niche controllers and things that just kind of didn't work. And but having options like this N52 is really sweet, because it can make your gaming experience a lot easier. I mean, I can do all my controls on that. So it's movement, that's yeah. casting, that's jump, whatever.
Yeah. And having that, something that maybe it didn't stick around, but it's like an innovation that drives other people to think about what could be done better.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, so...
I mean, you move from this, and then next thing you know, you've got the Razer mice that have all of those custom keys on the side.
And while we're talking about PC controls,
yeah.
a few things we've picked up recently from friends of GameAnon, and a couple of things I found out recently.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find your interpolating setting in your devices, look for your mouse device and look for interpolating,
mm-hmm.
or the video device you're using, and turn down interpolating. It will basically cut down your lag time just by changing a setting.
Really?
Within the games. And another one is the DPI on your mouse.
Yeah.
Which is basically how... It's basically the mouse... We're talking about mouse sensitivity at the end of the day. For me, I play... not as much anymore, but I used to play a lot of StarCraft. But there's a lot of other PC games that require high actions per minute. With the mouse, so if you're moving your mouse all around, if you have a low-ish DPI, what it's basically meaning is it should typically be between like 400 and 1,000. Mm-hmm. And I just heard a couple of pro gamers talking about this. What it means is, like, you know, you can turn up your mouse sensitivity a bunch, but at the end of the day, if it's too high, then you're missing key details, or you're not quite touching where it should be all the time. It's skipping past, and then you have to remove it and re-click it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have your DPI somewhere lower, between like I said, 400 and 1,000, what it means is you'll have to move your mouse slightly more, but the actions that you can do will be more precise,
give you more accuracy
when you get used to it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because that's one thing I've never really understood, is like, I've got a 3,500 DPI mouse. I have no idea what that means. I don't know what it does. So, I mean, that's actually good for me to know for my own personal reference.
Yeah, it just means you can, like, I have my sensitivity would probably be too high right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm used to that, and yeah, if I turn it down a little bit, I could probably... That's the thing, though, I haven't gone back to StarCraft too much. And I guess at that level, it's for, like, the pros when you're talking about it, but
you're having trouble... that kind of precision.
Right, but I would say if you're having trouble with your PC gaming controls, mess with the default Windows settings of mouse sensitivity and interpolating, and see if that doesn't help you a little bit.
Hmm.
So
definitely good to know.
What else?
Let's touch on a controller that, I mean, I had actually asked on, I threw the question on Twitter, and we'll get to some of the answers in a little bit, but I'd asked people for what their, was it what their favorite controllers were? I can't even remember my own questions now. Give me a second, I will find it. Let's see here.
I thought we found out that you thought you had tweeted this like 6 months ago, and you didn't.
I was trying to find, because I did one recently. Wait, why don't I just go to my favorites, because I know I favorited a bunch of answers. Let's see here. There we go. Yeah, it asked what controller people prefer, whether it be PS4, Xbox One, or Wii U.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Some people felt that the Wii U was an odd one to have in there, just because it is such a different control type, but I wanted to kind of touch on that.
Definitely.
What experience have you had with the Wii U gamepad?
The Wii U gamepad, when I used it, I I thought it was a great idea because it seems like the same type of integration Sony has with the Vita. I just didn't like, I don't think they do operating system and layout very well anymore. And that was the biggest downgrade for me of it. It didn't feel, I don't know. It's something you have to set down on your lap. You can't be picking it up and holding it. It's a bit clunky.
It's so huge.
It's huge. Yeah, it's huge. But other than that, I haven't had a lot of gameplay experience with it. I just kind of picked it up and looked at it, see what it could do.
Fair enough. I know.
What were they saying about the Wii U gamepad though?
All right. Well, let's go to some of the questions. So yeah, I had asked favorite controllers: PS4, Xbox One, Wii U, and why. So the noise had said, I prefer PS4 over Xbox One controller by a large margin. Just feels more natural and comfortable. And then he said, I love the Wii U gamepad, but I don't think it's fair to compare it to the others. And I can kind of understand where he's coming from.
They're almost like two different pieces of technology. They're so different at this
point. Yeah, just because you have that touchscreen and integration into the controller, and it's so bloody massive.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a cool controller, and I really like it. I plan on getting a Wii U at some point, probably when Smash Brothers comes out and some other titles. But I mean, I think my big problem would be who gets to use the gamepad. And I'm actually, just on a side note, I'm actually shocked that Nintendo still hasn't made those gamepads available for purchase at all.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they
no separate.
There is nothing separate. So I don't even know what happens if you break the gamepad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh. So, you know what, though? I bet you they have a system where you can buy another one if you have the serial number of a Wii U.
Maybe,
They had something like that with... they did this, actually, with the Wii. I remember this because they were like, okay, they sent every Wii... Every person they knew had bought a Wii or pre-ordered a Wii. They sent them some letter saying, hey, we noticed that people are kind of throwing these controllers all over their living rooms. So if you send us your address, we'll send you these, like, basically controller condoms where...
Yep. I remember, I remember when those right came now? Out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The bounce mechanics, so if you threw it at something, it would come back and smack you in the head.
I'm sure that's what they were going for.
Probably. Teach people a lesson. Don't throw your stuff.
Yeah, that's a good lesson.
Yep. It'll give you a bit of a headache.
Love your electronics.
Exactly.
What else did the people on the Twitters say?
The people on the Twitters, who else did we have? We had Decayed Shadow had said PS4, definitely. And then we had actually the guest from last episode, Chowfie. That Chowfie on Twitter said, I prefer the feel of the PS4 controller. New size and curves are a big improvement. Xbox One felt too flat. And
too flat.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the Xbox One feels more rounded out, I find.
Yeah, I wonder what he means by that.
We'll leave it up to you, Chowfie. Let us know on the Twitters. And
you know what's
go ahead.
You know what's weird about the PS4 controller is the touchpad button. It doesn't like do much. Yet.
No, I haven't found a lot of integration besides like being able to move around my map on Assassin's Creed 4.
Mm. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but...
How did that work in that game? Did you like touchpad it, or you just press that button and the map came up?
I think you press the button and the map came up, and then you'd use the touchpad to move around areas of the map, or you could use the joysticks, and honestly, the joysticks were just easier as a smoother... movement around. The touchpad felt a little choppy.
Yeah, for touchpad stuff, it is nice on the back of the Vita, the four areas they have touchpad marked. That works really well. But yeah, that's interesting. Maybe I just haven't had the games to properly test it out. But
I think the only other one that I found some cool integration with it was Killzone, just because I mean that's their launch title, and you had to basically use it as a showcase. But you would I think it was you had this little have you played Killzone?
I have it right here. I just got it recently.
Nice.
From Gamefly, so I'm about to get into it.
Cool, yeah, because there's this little kind of robot that hovers around with you, and different swipes on the pad will cause it to do different actions.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was pretty cool, but yeah, past that, there hasn't been any games I've found that have made any useful integration.
Speaking of things that should... options that should have been put in and weren't for no reason. What recently happened here in my house was the PS4 light bar got taped over.
Oh, man.
So
driving you nuts?
I'm just not a... Yeah, it was driving me insane because, like, I'm looking at my TV during whatever game. It was Outlast for a while, where it's... Outlast is totally dark. Mm-hmm. The game is meant to be pitch black and scare the crap out of you, and then I'm looking, but I'm trying to see something, but all I'm seeing is this giant reflection of the blue light or it's like a green. It does change colors,
but yeah,
not having an option to turn that off was ridiculous,
irritating, I'm sure, because I found they make use of that in Killzone, where as your health decreases, the light bar changes color.
They had that in Outlast too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The reflection can be annoying. Like I can usually gauge pretty well. Like even if the game doesn't give me a health bar, I can pretty much gauge if I'm dying or not.
Yeah.
Don't need it.
For other games, I don't care at all, and I never notice it. Mm-hmm. I've played Battlefield with it, and I never even noticed it. Never cared.
I think it's the ambience and the setting that you're playing it in. If you're playing it in like that dark room setting, then that's definitely going to affect it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I've played Outlast, and it did not last very long. I did not outlast it.
We just talked about this like 2 days ago when we did a podcast about like why at the end of the day it was a disappointment or just like didn't quite live up or do anything, and like it's all shock factor. The whole game is just it's banking on jump scares and shock factor, and beneath that there's not much going on.
Just a lot of depth, and
there's not a lot of great story there, and there's not a lot of great gameplay there, in my opinion. So
yeah, I mean, I wasn't really getting into the story. I didn't, given I've only played it for probably about an hour or hour and a half.
I got about 4 or 5 hours in, and Gunner, another one of my friends who I podcast with, he beat the game, and one of our other friends only got like an hour or so in, and is just like, yeah, you get to the point where it's like, I played this to be scared, but now I'm totally freaking scared, and I don't want to be scared anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I find for myself, I get to a point where I can only take so much tension before I just need to stop, and I can't handle it.
Yes. And that happened for me, where I would play for like an hour, and then it would either be like, I don't enjoy this anymore, why am I doing this? Or, like, I don't care what happens next, and I'm probably not going to be finishing it, just because, you know, it's like watching a horror movie, but it's not, it's like a bad horror movie. You know, there's so little interaction. Obviously, because all you can do is run and hide.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing you can do, and there's, like, really simple puzzle solving in it, it wasn't very interesting. And then at one point, I'm like repeating myself from 2 days ago, but he gets outside of the place. He's in an insane asylum, and he gets outside, and then he doesn't try to find an exit. He tries to find a way back inside to follow some other crazy guy who's like talking to him. It made no sense to me.
Logic. Clearly that is horror movie logic.
I was so out. I was just like, God, I hope you die now.
Yeah, there wasn't anything that grabbed me, and that's probably not one that I will go back to, unfortunately, but
oh, Contrast, well. Though, just another random game.
Contrast is so good.
That was a great game.
I love that game. That was a great title to have for launch. I mean, it was short, but
yeah,
it was so well done.
Game said a lot. It did a lot with a little, not that much. And going from like the 3D platforming to the shadow world of 2D platforming was very, very cool.
I really enjoyed that. And there's not a... Yeah, that's what it's all about here. I mean,
it's whatever.
Yeah, shit happens. It's cool. I like tangents. They're fun. Takes you to different places, and you get conversations you weren't expecting. But Contrast was one that... Steph doesn't play a lot of console games, Mm-hmm. But that was one she got into quite a bit. She actually got farther in it than I have, just because I was just enjoying watching her play it as opposed to playing it myself.
Yeah.
Between that and Resogun.
That game is hard.
Oh, that game has sucked away so much of my time. Just me and Steph will just sit there for like 2-3 hours just nonstop playing it. But I was so taken aback the first time I played it, and the PS4 controller has the speaker in it. So for those of you who aren't, who haven't had a chance to play around with one or don't know, it does have a speaker in it. So certain games will make use of that functionality. And I had apparently had the volume maxed up on the controller. So you'll start Resogun, and it's basically this 360 2D shooting gun kind of shooting game, kind of like a space shooting game, like I'm trying to think of one.
3D space shooting game. Halo?
No, like spaceship shooting. Oh. I'm trying to think like classic.
X-Wing?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
is that X-Wing versus TIE Fighter?
No, not like X-Wing that? Versus TIE Fighter. It's like an I feel like such a noob not knowing what game.
It's a Star Wars. Are you thinking of a Star Wars
game? No, it's not a Star Wars game.
Okay. I don't know then.
Shit. I don't know, but anyways, if you guys aren't familiar with Resogun, go check it out. I'm giving an awful description, and I apologize, but you have to save humans, and the first thing it does when you start up the game, it says, save all humans, and it comes out of the controller, and I nearly tossed the controller up because I wasn't expecting it. I knew the speaker was there, but I forgot about it, and I didn't think, because none of the games I'd played used it, so...
It's funny, it's very arcadey. Because the speaker is very small. I love how they used it, because they knew it's not going to be like some amazing speaker system, but it like feels like an old arcade game.
It does. It's really cool, and it's made use of in Killzone. I don't want to say how, just because I think it's really cool, and it's one of those things you should just experience.
Okay.
But right, it was I really enjoyed how they used it in Killzone as well.
Cool.
Let's see, we had some more, we had one other response from that Chowfee. He said, Wii U always has me bouncing between the TV and the controller screen. It's a bit of a distraction.
Yeah, I had that experience too, where I was like, and it got old.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly.
I think the only part about that I really like is, two things: the touchscreen functionality, because I like touchscreens and how it's integrated into the controller is really nice, but being able to keep playing while someone else is using the TV, that's the big draw for me with that.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's the same thing with using my Vita with the PS4. I love that I can walk around my house and keep playing my PS4, but someone else is watching TV.
Yes, that is the biggest version, you know, advantage of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So while we were sitting here, I was just trying to think of like other PC gaming like tips that people can do.
Yeah.
And like obviously graphics settings you can mess with.
Mm-hmm.
But if you turn on, always, like, I don't know what exactly this does, but turning on VSync helps out your graphics. It's a slight, and it's from game to game. If you find the option to turn on VSync in any of your games, try turning it on and see if it doesn't crash your computer. I'm just kidding. But if you turn it on and it's not dropping frames, then you'll have a much better experience. Yeah. And the other thing is, if you are having problems with games where you're dropping frames or anything, if you turn down just your shadow effects, there's ever an option to turn down shadow effects in the game, turn just those down before you drop from high to medium or medium to low or anything.
Can make a huge difference.
Because there is like it is a huge difference, and it takes a lot of memory just to make shadows and water look pretty in games. So,
although pretty water is really nice in games, especially like Battlefield 4.
Battlefield 4, Assassin's Creed 4's water, both of them are very good.
Yep. Very, very nice.
PS4 does it well.
It does. Yeah. I was very impressed. And the last answer we had on Twitter was from Grantitis.
Oh, yeah.
Or Grant it is, whatever.
Mr. Grant Gustafson of Geeks yep. with Wives.
Mr. Geeks with Wives. And he said mouse and keyboard because it was my first and feels so precise. So many buttons.
He's a PC master race to the heart.
As long as he doesn't hate on the console, I'm okay with the...
He does hate on the console. That's
well,
the
bad Grant. Stop. Stop.
Great. Okay, so I gotta tell this story now, because he would flip out over this. We flipped out too. The two other guys that I podcast with,
yeah,
we all like were like, oh yeah, console wise, it's so such an easy choice, PS4 over Xbox One, so easy. Mm-hmm. And the next thing we know, Gunner bought a PS or an Xbox One, and we can't figure out why. We it just baffles everybody, because he got it to play Titanfall. But Titanfall's coming out on PC within the next like month or so, and he's also going to be buying a PC within the next month or so. So that makes no sense. He also said, "Oh, he's got this excuse. Oh, but it's so nice when you're holding the baby. He's got a 3-month-old son. He's like, oh, you're feeding the baby, and you can just say, oh, Xbox, go to Netflix. Xbox, do this, blah blah blah." And I was like, dude. The PlayStation I does the same thing. It has the same functionality. You say, play this, play that. Why didn't you just get that? Well, I just like the layout. I prefer the layout. He bought it for no reason whatsoever. He just wanted to spend $500 on a gaming system, right now.
I couldn't
wait.
I can appreciate that, because that sounds like something I would do, and that's kind of something I did do. We were talking about this before we started recording about the PS4. I'm enjoying it, but it hasn't really wowed me, and there haven't been titles that have wowed me, I should say. The console itself, I really like. I like what they've done with it, but there haven't been games that have made me go, I did need to buy this on launch, which is kind of sad.
I was glad I got the chance to play Battlefield, but Battlefield 4 has so many problems right now that trying to play it with my friends is a total nightmare.
Yeah.
So I just don't do that. Like, when I want to play it, which is not a whole lot anymore, it's like, well, I guess I'll go on single player and play for a bit. Because I can't queue with my friends into a public match. I have to go to a private server, but then those aren't filled with as many people. But,
kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, exactly. But for people who are like console people and you're worried about getting into PC gaming, look, just you're obviously paying attention to the specs of the Xbox One and the specs of the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the specs of gaming computers and evaluate them the same way, same way. Power source, layout, you know, in both of these systems, everything is so crammed into this tiny thing that the heating becomes a big problem. And there was a huge problem on Xbox 360 because that's how you got the red rings. It's like things overheated, things stopped working, or the disk drives failed quicker than they should because it wasn't put in there correctly or didn't last as long as it should have. And in a gaming PC, you can kind of have it laid out how you want to. There's infinite ways to customize them. So, and we were just saying, like, you know, how about instead of the $500 into an Xbox One, what if you put that $500 into the next computer you're buying? You know,
you could have an amazing rig,
which is worth more which is going to last you longer, do you think, you know? And I know these new systems are set up to last a very long time, and I think they will last, you know, at least 7 years, like this Xbox 360 PS3 generation lasts. It will last at least that long because of how much integration they have to, you know, every other media right now. But some point they won't be able to.
I can definitely see where you're coming from with that. And it just, you can,
they have their own limits.
Yeah.
They put their own limits on each other, you know, in a lot of ways.
And then you have a lot more customization. When it comes down to a PC, you can make it exactly what you want.
Right.
So, I mean, either or, however you decide to go, what platform is right for you in the end.
And what controller is right for you.
Yeah. And I think we've got a lot of good options this generation, and I don't dislike any of the controllers. I think they all feel nice, and they have their own pros and cons.
Yeah, and we can encourage. I think this is a good time to just encourage people to, you know, keep it civil out there.
Yes.
Because, you know, and like, don't shit talk stuff that you don't have experience with, basically. Because me and you might prefer our PS4s right now, and because we got them for the reasons we did. But if you bought a PS4 and you've never tried the Xbox One, don't just talk shit about it if you haven't ever tried anything with it. You know, the only people who really have like the best license to be shit talking Xbox One is Xbox One owners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously there's been problems with it, but there's also a lot of good there, and there's a lot of problems and good with PS4 and PC as well. There's just kind of different things you have to deal with on any gaming system and be used to. You know, getting into gaming,
that's cool, man.
But I was just thinking, getting into gaming, it forces you to kind of, you know, pay closer attention to electronics and pay closer attention to the specs and how all of these pieces of electronics interact with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's that's one thing is a lot of people will go for that universal connectivity between all their devices. I mean, someone will have, like myself, I got a Samsung TV, I got a Samsung phone, and I got a Samsung tablet in the house, all of which connect together just fine. And I like that. And a lot of people do like the same thing. So people who really like Windows 8 probably going to like the Xbox One's interface.
I like the layout. Even when I didn't, I used to not really be a big fan of Windows 8. I did like the Xbox One layout. Mm-hmm. I also like that there is that integration with Surface, which is basically if you have a smartphone, you have another controller,
which is really cool. And again, that comes back to having that second device to integrate with your console, and what you can do with that is really amazing. And compared.
When I say controller, not a game controller, but basically like a remote control.
Yeah, no, and having that is really nice, though. I mean, it's another option. So if your controller's dead, hey, just turn on my phone, because I'm too lazy to get up and plug it in to charge it. Because that is our generation. That is what we do.
Exactly. So some days you're just that tired. I understand it, too. You come home from work and you just like, you've sat down at your couch.
And now, that is it.
So you can either now get up to get the controller, or you can just pull your phone out and turn Netflix on, which is easier.
Or it's a Sunday and you're really hungover. That's also acceptable.
That's acceptable.
I know, my head's starting to do the, okay, yeah, there you go. You're feeling it now. You've had some water and you've had breakfast. So now you can start feeling the mild, very moderate headache. Just have some water.
I'm right there with you, man.
Yeah, but I think this is a good point, unless you have more that you would like to bring up.
Mm.
I think this is a good point to kind of wrap it up.
Sure. How long are we at right now?
We are at about an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So.
And I'll just say that, you know, it's been a weird kind of journey through gaming controls for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there was so many, if you think about all the ones that have failed in the past, it's weird to think about what has come around and what would or would not have come around if those were not in existence. Like the touchpad we were talking about earlier, so many of the, I'm thinking about the Virtual Boy right now. That's
how God. Yes. It's just, if certain
but if
things...
you think about Virtual Boy, which was the ridiculous red nightmare, it was basically like staring into hell. It was a peripheral that Nintendo put out back in the day. Okay, so another, some of my favorite classic peripherals are the Power Glove, Nintendo Power Glove, the Foursquare, Nintendo Foursquare, which was basically an attachment for the Nintendo NES.
Was this like a DDR mat?
No, close. It was an attachment to the NES that made it into a four player, so you could plug four controllers into a four player game.
Nice.
And one of the funny things we did on our show a while ago, I can't remember what episode it was, but we called Nintendo of America and tried to get support for our Nintendo 4 score. And the guy was like, wait, what? What are you talking about? I gotta look this up real quick. They don't know. They don't know anything. They don't go back that far. But
that's hilarious.
But Virtua Boy, if Virtua Boy hadn't been a horrible idea in the 90s, would we have Oculus Rift and Sony doing their VR thing now?
Exactly. I mean, failures of the past can lead to successes of the future. That's the thing.
It kind of reiterates our point of about don't be 100% Nazi, you know, one way about one device. You know, one device is the God device, the pure blood device.
Yeah.
And all is good about it, and everything is terrible about the other guy. That's a horrible way to go through.
Mm-hmm.
That's a horrible thing for gamers to
That mentality just, I don't know, I feel like I reiterate this so many times in so many episodes, but it's just, it's one of those things, just be good to people.
Be good to people, and yeah.
Whatever controller's right for you is that's your choice.
Yeah.
So
I just want to tell gamers to, you know, if you're nice to people, then you will get out of your online interactions the same way that you would in real life. You should treat it that way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I could use the Twitch community as a great staple for that. Going into LG of Games channel all the time. Me and him have been friends for, I guess, almost a year now. And going into his channel, it's like people come. I say hey, and just a slew of people. Hey Jay, how's it going? And hey Boom, everyone's very welcoming, and it's a great community and a great environment. And having more of that is just, it's nice to see.
Not all Twitch chats are so welcoming.
I have not been into one. There's been very few that I've gone into that haven't been welcoming, but I think that's because I'm very picky about what I watch on Twitch.
Try going into the lobbies of either League of Legends,
nope.
Counter-Strike, or even StarCraft on the day of a major tournament. Try going into those chats.
Nope, I won't do it, because those are games that hold no interest for me to watch, and I know...
Let me tell you what happens. It's people worse than the players playing, complaining about balance and what should be or should not be.
Yeah, no, I would probably last for about 10 seconds and be like, fuck this, I'm out. Yeah, I'm going to go watch someone who entertains me.
What often happens in those chats is it instantly gets turned on to subscriber only chat.
Yeah.
And then it gets much, much, much more civil.
Yeah, so. Because it's like, hey, you're paying to be here. You're clearly a little bit more invested in it.
So, yeah, be good to your fellow gamers. And that's a message I try to convey on our podcast as often as possible. So
it's an important one.
Thanks for having me on, dude.
Yeah, no problem. To shamelessly promote as we end the show, why don't you let everyone know about Gaming On yourself, how they can get in touch with you guys.
You can check out our website, and if you just want to download the episodes there, it's gamingon.com. It's a pretty simple website. We're not like pro web designers or anything, but you can find our episodes. We have a few reviews up there. You can kind of see about us on there. Or you can find us on iTunes or on Stitcher Radio, or just search us on iTunes or Stitcher or Gaming On, or follow us on Twitter at Gaming On Podcast, and let us know what you think.
Sweet. And if people want to get in touch with you directly on, say, the Twitters?
Sure. I'm at Carl Houtz. It's CARLHOUTZ. And I go on like Twitter sprees, and then I'll get off of Twitter for probably 4 or 5 days at a time and just forget about it.
I find myself doing the same thing. Although I did recently, for some reason, I haven't used it before, I just found TweetDeck.
What is that?
Basically, instead of having, like, when you go to Twitter and you have your feed, you always have to click at the top to have new ones come, like new tweets come up. This automatically just refreshes, so you'll have one for your live feed, one for direct messages, one for activity, and one for mentions. So it all updates on the fly. Just tweetdeck.com. It's really awesome. I've kept that up at work so I can keep on Twitter more than I've been. It's been really nice.
Cool, man.
So, yeah. And think that is about it. Yeah, if you guys have a gaming topic burning a hole in your pocket, then come be a guest and share it with the world. So be sure to hit me up on Twitter. It's at @boom_headshot, HEADSH0T. And check out everything Boom at boomheadshotpod.com. For this week, I'm Jordan Thompson, and thank you again, Carl, for joining me.
Thanks for having me. You have been a gentleman and a scholar, as always.
You have as well, pleasure. And I look forward to chatting with you again and maybe chatting with the other guys as well.
Sure, definitely.
Cool, man. All right, well, till next week, everyone, keep those sights live and keep making those headshots.
I'm the king of the ring when I'm in the arena, because I'm beating everybody like when I beat Tina. I can throw down with the campus mentality. The gloves putting stops to your whole camp's reality. Sticky bombs flying all over the place. If I find your body, you know I'm humping your face. Duck walking with my heavy machine gun. The words on your screen, you were killed by Z1. Yeah, come and run my direction. I don't give a damn if you got double protection. It's a fatal attraction. I'm way fatality, place quake and not red faction. Posted on a rock, sniper rifle in hand. Your forehead's in sight, all according to plan. Breathe wrong, homie, and you might get caught. Everybody in the room's gonna hear what I got, cause it's a
boom headshot, boom headshot. I'm stalled in the box, it's like boom headshot, boom headshot, boom headshot. I'm stalled in the box, it's like
around your area, becoming so nefarious. It's necessary to be wary, you should be afraid of us. Got you in the sights of my rifle scope. Better take a look around before your head explodes. Taking the show on the road, see the victims ladder. Better watch where you go, or your mind can shatter. Better pack your grenades if you step into us. A frantic creature with a body, see them piling up. I take a real sick pleasure out of watching them fall. Rockets and grenades, I shot a free-for-all. About to whip out my sickness, get my opinion. Climb up to the top and start snapping at your best friend. It takes 10 men to stop me, here I'm coming. In the battle mode, I keep on running and gunning. Zealous and be fair, y'all better be scared. Don't care if you respond, I still be camping out to be there with them.
Boom headshot, boom headshot. Stalled in the box, it's like boom headshot. Boom headshot, boom headshot. Stalled in the box.
Hit your 9-3 chumps in the line.
Wait, I'm low on ammo, but I still got my 9. Need to reach a high level for I'm truly effective.
Killing off pros and noobs, non-selective.
True that, yeah, okay, I'm ready to go.
Sticky bombs in my hand, pop tops and throw. Yo, my railgun's tracking everyone in my sector.
Hey, yo, I'm in position, let me give you the vector.
The coordinates match with the blips on my map.
Word to that, okay, let's set up this trap. Setting noobs in to be like bait.
Brain matter will splatter all according to fate.
Yeah. There's no doubt, look like they found my landmine.
It's all good, now I got my snipe sights lined. This is easy like aiming at Tyra Banks.
Making shots so accurate, they're taking down tanks.
Boom headshot, boom headshot. Stalled in the box, it's like boom headshot. Boom headshot, boom headshot. Stalled in the box, it's like
Zealous one. Uh-oh. Turn around. Whoops. Too late.